Greetings, team. Welcome to the Badass Agile Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Williams. Hey guys, welcome back. Now, you know that our purpose here is creating an elite tribe of leaders by using agile principles to up our leadership game and then bringing that back to our practice. In episode 11, I discussed the fundamentals of what makes agile work. I also introduced the badass agile mindset and habit pairs. And if you remember, they were number one, focus. Number two, continuous improvement. Number three, adaptive planning. And number four, team. I promised in that episode that it would be a launching off point for detailed discussions of how to coach through those different areas. Now, put another way, I'm about to start showing you how to improve your leadership game using agile practices. So let's get committed today. Recall from previous episodes, there were about 13 qualities of a badass. Of those, easily four or five of them are really about having a laser focus on achieving your outcome. For example, badass quality number four, they won't stop until they're the best, implies that you have an internal drive to be the absolute best at what you do, and there is no amount of work that you wouldn't do to achieve it. Imagine being an elite athlete. If you're of the mind that you absolutely wouldn't stop until you were the best in the game, do you think the work that you would undertake on a daily basis would be lazy, wasteful, or unfocused? Probably not. Think of quality number eight, always go first. Implies that you're unafraid to jump in, get started, and get busy doing the hard work of hitting your objectives. Quality number nine, never quit, implies that no matter how hard the work is, you find a way to keep plugging along. This includes doing work that's not directly related to achieving your goal, but it's still necessary, so this might include work that's in no way enjoyable to you, but it needs to be done. Quality number 10, a badass values their time as a precious commodity means you place really high focus and high value on how you spend your time. You and only you dictate how that time gets used, and as such, you're not keen to waste it doing things of low value. Also consider quality number 11. A badass doesn't value certainty or safety, so they break rules repeatedly. They live and learn best at the edge of their fears. This one subtly implies that you're willing to work on things that you're not exactly sure how to do or how to be successful at. People who are very good at getting into peak performance states know that there always has to be some element of the unknown, risk, reach, or fear, that is, the opportunity to lose or fail exists in the background. And that is what pushes you to work just a little harder, just a little faster, just a little better, to see if you can overcome that obstacle. Do you see a pattern here? In all of these cases, a badass is a person who knows what they want and relentlessly applies your best to go after it. They're not thwarted by things because they're not easy or fun. They're not afraid to go first. They're not unwilling to get off the couch and get after it. They have no reason to procrastinate. They don't let fear stand in their way, and they absolutely won't stop until they're the best at what they do. So how can we, as I say in every episode, use agile principles to improve our leadership game? Well, as I said in episode 11, agile works because it's based on the same mindsets and habits that make you badass. The same principles that make any leader excellent at what they do. One of these mindset and habit systems is focus. And again, in episode 11, I describe focus work as including the following concepts and practices. Let's review. Number one, having a clear picture of how you want the world to look when you're done. Number two, prioritization. Number three, direct and open communication. Number four, quick decision making. Number five, discipline. Number six, breaking bigger things into smaller things and doing smaller things to perfection. Number seven, single tasking and being free from distraction. So of these focus principles, let's look at the mindset habit pair of prioritization today. What can we learn from agile? As Agile practitioners, we should be familiar with the notion of prioritization of work. We all understand that a prioritized backlog is instrumental to doing the most important things first, delivering the greatest value up front. So I find that's an easy concept to teach, and everyone inherently gets it. Once the team's been up and running for a while, they're usually very comfortable working in this way. It becomes second nature. But there's two things that you might notice. Number one, in the early stages of a project, think of a project that might not be a customer-facing solution, something that doesn't deliver value straight to an end user, maybe something like a back-end system replacement or a database-type project, foundational stuff, framework stuff. It can be really difficult to get away from the sense that the most important thing we should do first is the foundational back-end work. It's really hard to convince people to deliver small slices of value when really all they want to do is work for 3 months building the foundation so you can build the rest of the house on top of it. And absolutely, if you're building a house, it's really, really hard to deliver just part of the foundation, then part of the main floor, then part of the second floor, then part of the attic. It doesn't work like that. You start from the bottom and build your way up. So the temptation on these kinds of projects is to do the same thing. It's really, really hard to get them to change that mindset. Number two, although we inherently understand and adopt and embrace the notion of a prioritized backlog, we only apply it to product features and scope. We're very hesitant to use it in any other aspect of our daily lives, and this we do to our own detriment. I can't stress this enough. A badass uses their time in a way that reflects what is most important to them. A badass does not waste time on low-value things. A badass doesn't do things simply because other people tell or want them to do it. A badass knows who he or she is, what they want, and they have a sense of how to get there. And no one is going to push them off that path. Another way of saying this is that their time is intrinsically prioritized. They also don't spend a lot of time working on things that don't yield much benefit. They know when to cut and when to walk away. They know what things are worth stressing and sweating over. And believe me, those things are very few and far between. Only your deepest passions deserve your deepest effort. Any executive could certainly attest that the more you're considered an expert, the more you're considered an achiever, the more you're considered a leader of women and men, the more people are going to want your time. Time literally becomes an extremely precious commodity, so sitting around for hours watching Netflix in the break room is not going to be an option for you. If you inspire people, if you motivate people, people will want what you have to give. People want your time, and they're going to ask for it. So whether you're already an esteemed leader, maybe a coach or an expert, or just a garden variety badass, or just aspire to be one, or even if you're just looking to serve your team to the best of your ability, you need to treat your time like it's your number one priority. As such, the following rules will apply. Number one, before you start anything, a meeting, a project, etc., have a crystal clear sense of what you expect to get out of it before you go in, and communicate that out to others. And when it's all over, take the time to look back to see if you walked away with what you were expecting to. Number two, don't just prioritize your backlog, prioritize everything. Number three, don't waste time on low-value things. That means track and apply disciplined focus to the time you spend on everything. This way, if you have four important things to do today, but the first two take twice as long as you thought they would, so you only get to the first two, you'll still have attacked and retired the two most important things of the day. Now, as promised, I mentioned that all excellence is achieved by adopting new mindset and habit pairs. That is to say, there's a way of looking at the world that's extremely productive and powerful. But in addition to a way of looking at the world, you have to accompany that with corresponding actions that reinforce the mindset. So let me teach you the mindset and habit pair for doing focused work prioritization. The mindset I want you to adopt is this: there is no resource more important or powerful than time. If you treat it properly and with reverence, you'll be able to deliver 80% of the value in 20% of the time. It'll become meaningless that you complete or don't complete your to-do list, because when time is scarce, and it always is, it's far more powerful to complete the most important things and not to waste time on the things that were of lower value to you anyway. And furthermore, when you treat time this way, you'll become practiced and disciplined at being more efficient with your time. When you treat it as a valuable resource, you start getting more done in a day, in an hour. And as such, you become more energetic, more disciplined, and more focused. Consider carefully that mindset. And even if you don't believe it to be true today, right now, even if you have no experience to support that belief, work with me for now and just believe that you do. Over the coming weeks and months, the practices I'm about to share with you, the habits, will in no uncertain terms yield results for you. Once you have, as with all mindset habit pairs, exercised these practices, the outcomes will reinforce the belief. If I have one single piece of advice to offer you on this very first mindset habit pair, it would be this: take my word for it, for now. The internal belief that comes from having seen it and done it yourself will follow very shortly. At that point, you won't need to take my word for anything anymore. So if we believe that time is our most precious resource, and we must treat it accordingly, and the best way to do that is to prioritize everything we do, what practices can help us with that? Well, Agile provides some clues. The Agile Manifesto is, of a form, a set of vision statements. It creates simple prioritizations. We value X over Y. Not to say that Y is not valuable. It's just that given a choice, we prefer and want more of X. So it is not just your backlog that will need prioritization. Prioritize everything. Or think of it another way. Everything is a backlog. Let me give you some examples, some of which will be obvious Agile examples, but then let me show you how to use it outside of Agile practice. Number one, if you lead a retrospective with a list of 20 items to improve, prioritize that list. We should all be familiar with the concept of somehow voting or otherwise ranking improvement items. So treat it like a backlog for which the whole team is the product owner. Communicate with the team and beyond that although we value everything on this list because it represents the collective output of the whole team, we have collectively agreed that the following top two or three items are the most important. So while we see value in fixing everything on the list, just like going to a mechanic or just like having home renos done, certain things will be more pressing than others. And therefore, we value the highest ranked items first, and we put our greatest commitment on achieving these in the next two-week sprint. Number two, let's say for a stand-up, you implement some rules that any discussion not related to blockers or progress should be taken outside the room. Well, that's a form of prioritization too, because basically you're saying, we have 10 minutes to create the value of moving the dial on our promises for the next 2 weeks. So while all other discussions may be valuable, may be necessary, they are not as important in the context of this session as having each team member discuss progress and impediments to progress so that we know as a team what corrective actions to take and who can help with them. As a side note, by the way, this approach works extremely well in large organizations where we have a wide range of backgrounds and personalities. It's all too easy to offend someone when we get hyper dogmatic about our agile or our badass rules. See, things that we consider to be a waste of time won't be an obvious waste of time to a lot of other people. It's important to them. When that happens and we express it by saying, "Don't talk about that in this room," it's really easy to offend people. So instead say this: I know that what you're talking about is really important. It's just that in the context of priority, we value these other things slightly more, and therefore we're going to give it our first and best focus. It's a more diplomatic way of saying, I hear what you're saying, and I want to get to your concern, but I want to make sure we get to this other stuff first. I always tell teams, I don't have many rules, but the rules I do give are to keep you on the rails until we learn how to perform at our peak without rules. And making everything a backlog is one of those rules. Number three, think of sprint planning. Sprint planning itself represents the value of doing focused, prioritized work. All the hard work that goes into planning out the next sprint worth of tasks. If you've never done one, it can take up to half a day. That would be extremely costly if we did one of those half-day sessions for all the sprints from now to the end of our scope. Because if we ended up not doing some of those sprints because the project ran out of money or we ran out of time to do that work, all of the work of planning it would have been throwaway. So for this reason, when we prioritize our efforts, we can shift fire from the most important thing to the next most important thing until the two-week sprint is done. Then and only then do we move on to the next sprint. It's a bit like playing a zombie apocalypse game. It's wisest to deal with the thing that's closest to you and most pressing. Those are the threats that will appear to be biggest to you because they're the ones closest. When and only when you've retired that particular issue does it make any sense to move on to the ones in the background. When that zombie standing in front of you waving his arms, nothing else should really matter. Now let's move on to some less agile examples. How can you apply these practices to your leadership game, to the rest of your life? Well, number one, prioritize your day. When you get up in the morning, get into the habit of figuring out what are the three most important things you can do with your day today. Write them down in priority sequence, not the order they pop into your head. Don't make long to-do lists. If you have more than two or three priorities, it has been said, you don't actually have any priorities at all. So therefore, choose only three things that you must do. Make sure they are three things that move you towards your goals. If you're not sure, ask yourself why each item deserves a spot in today's top three. Is it because someone else or their rules tell you that it is? Or does this action actually move you one step closer to, let's say, financial freedom, personal fulfillment, whatever? And then commit the best, most productive part of your day to getting them done. For me, that's first thing in the morning. I do it before I start my daily commute, or once I've arrived at work, I'll try to find 30 to 60 minutes of uninterrupted time to tackle the most important issues. Number two, prioritize your sessions with yourself, individuals, or teams. What if you could make every work session or meeting between 20 and 30 minutes maximum? What would you have to do? How would you have to behave? What results would you need to get? This is what I try to do. Only set up meetings or discussions where you need to achieve a specific objective. Know that objective going in, share it with the team. I used to be in the training game, and it was standard to start every training module with the statement, by the end of this module, you will be able to. Likewise, at the end, it would say, having completed this module, you should now be able to. Do the same things for your sessions. What will you be able to do after the session is done that you couldn't do before it started? Will you have clarity on a way forward? Get direction on a particular issue? After you set the objective for the session, you can have a quick discussion with the participants about the best way to achieve that objective. Like solutioning in Agile, the outcome of the meeting is what matters, not the path. So don't feel like you have to take the standard approach to running a meeting. Everyone just goes for as long as they need to until their thoughts on the matter have been exhausted, and then we move on to the next person. It doesn't have to work like that. You can give everyone 60 seconds to state their position, or You could ask people to do their homework up front and prepare their positions ahead of time and send them by email. Or write those positions down on index cards before you show up to the meeting. The point is, you can agree on the fly with the team on how to best achieve that objective, and once decided, then you can start the discussion. If at any point during the meeting, it appears that your approach isn't working, that is to say, your proposed solution seems unlikely to meet the stated objective, re-brainstorm and try something else. Then and only then should the meeting extend beyond the initial 20 minutes. Now here's a pro tip for you. It's important to make sure that you know who to invite and not to invite to specific discussions. One way that you can become insanely more productive and efficient as an organization or as a unit is to not waste people's time in meetings talking about things that they're not interested in or can't contribute to. The focus of everyone's time should be on doing the work, training, practicing, doing, conquering, retiring issues, retiring scope. Sitting in meetings, listening to other people talk is a complete and total waste of time. The only useful feature of a meeting is its potential to bring together a group of people to work on a common objective. Notice the two words there, common and objective. So only bring people into the room if you can work together to make progress against the goal. Now, if a meeting has more than one objective, by the way, make sure you prioritize those two, or you'll end up going down a path that at the end of the day, if you run out of time and didn't achieve the most important thing, the time was wasted. Number three, whatever issues or next steps come out of any meeting, consider them a non-backlog backlog. That is to say, any work that needs to be done by you or the team that's not part of the product backlog should be its own mini backlog or personal backlog. That means that each item, needs to be prioritized relative to all others. It should be estimated, scheduled, and planned, like any other backlog item. If it's not important enough to work on in this sprint, we shouldn't spend any more time working on it. Number four, time box everything. Grab a timer of some kind, oven timer, digital timer, good old-fashioned stopwatch. You need something that'll make a sound at the end so you know the time's up. If you have a set of objectives at the beginning of a meeting, when you sit with the team to come up with a common approach, turn that into an actual, I hate to say it, agenda. That is to say, a list of steps to take in the session and an idea of how long it will take to do each one is just like you do in sprint planning. So this shouldn't be unnatural or foreign in any way. I'll give you an example. When I run retrospectives, I set up, let's say, 10 minutes for people to brainstorm their likes and didn't likes, 20 minutes for the team to present their ideas back to the team, and then 10 minutes for everyone to vote on the ideas on the board, and I set up a timer for each one. During the 10-minute brainstorm, at let's say the 5-minute mark, I'll let everyone know, hey guys, you have 5 minutes to finish up. This can be incredibly powerful in controlling the amount of time that gets wasted in meetings doing meaningless things like socializing or carrying the discussion off topic. Now, let's take this beyond your agile practice to your own objectives and leadership game. Are you looking to become a badass guitar player? If so, and someone asks you if you want to spend a few hours just kicking it, just playing some Xbox, what would your answer be? Knowing that what's going to make you successful is the application of your best, most productive time to the most important tasks that move you closer to your goals, what would you say? If your objective is to lose 10 pounds and a friend suggests going out for a burger and a beer, what should your answer be? I use this technique in my own life. For example, if I do volunteer work or side work, people invite you, very commonly, to 2 or 3 hour sessions. And even though helping in community service is really important to me personally, I have to balance it with all the other competing priorities in my life. So what I will say is something to this effect. I have an hour to commit to the cause this week. Let me know what your top three priorities are, and let's figure out what the time commitment would be for each of them. Let's see how many we could potentially get done in that hour. If we end up needing more time, I'll book you another session as soon as my calendar allows. If we can't squeeze it in, we'll take the lower priority items and work on them next week. Now here is the badass benefit of treating your time that way. It lets people know in no uncertain terms who is in charge of your time. You. The minute you let other people dictate priorities and time management to you, they are running your show, and a badass never does that. It is sadly common, but entirely disrespectful, for someone to ask for just 10 minutes of your time and then ramble on for half an hour. Now, never be rude, never be arrogant, but assert in no uncertain terms that this is your time, and when it comes to your time, you are always the boss. You don't need to apologize. You don't need to explain how you manage your own priorities to other people. A simple word will always serve you best. I have X amount of time for you. How can we use that time to help you with your most important needs? So to summarize, the secrets to doing focused work are to treat your time as though it's the most important resource that we have, and train your teams to think of their time the same way. The giant list of things that you have to do in a day should be prioritized like any other backlog. Realize that every item has a cost, and every item has a benefit or return. So for each item, competing for your attention, its relative priority should be determined by a balance of the value it delivers for the time and cost required to implement. Now, in the real world, those things could be influenced by risk, dependency, and other such factors, but ultimately, I bet you have a good sense of whether or not this is the most important thing you can be working on today. Finally, remember to set objectives before you start any task, especially anything involving a group, and make sure you stick to those objectives. Finally, try time boxing everything. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope this helps you. Until next time, stay badass.